All right, I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 11. And when you find that in your Bible, if you'll stand while we'll read our text together tonight. Hebrews 11. And I want to begin reading tonight in verse number 11. Hebrews 11 and verse number 11. The Bible says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now may the Lord add the blessing to the reading of His Word in Hebrews 11. Let's pray together. Our Father, I'm so thankful tonight that You've let us worship a little bit. Let us sing, Lord, the old hymns and rejoice in what Jesus has done for us. And Lord, it's such a blessing to be in the house of God, fellowship with Your people. And Father, I thank You for the Bible that You've given us, this great illustration of faith in the life of Sarah. I'll ask You now, Lord, to open up our understanding, and may the power of the Holy Ghost of God overshadow me and the people tonight. And Lord, may our hearts be receptive and open to the Word of God, and may every heart be moved to Thee. I'm praying, Lord, that You'll give precious, glorious liberty tonight. Help my throat, and Lord, help the service. May Your people leave this place tonight having a better understanding of what faith is. And Lord, more determination to live a life of faith for the honor and the glory of God. I pray You'll save sinners and Jesus will be glorified. And as always, Lord, revive Your people. Will Thou not revive us again that we might rejoice in Thee? Turn our captivity, O God, and meet with us in a wonderful way and give victory to every child of God. I'll thank You for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You now, and you can be seated. I began preaching last night, or on Tuesday night, a series of messages on the life of Abraham and Abraham's faith. And on Tuesday night, we looked at Abraham's call, how that God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. And he got his start. He moved out from sin and the worldly life and started a course that led him eventually into the land of Canaan, to that land of promise. And then on this morning, we looked at his course, and we looked at his country, and just briefly mentioned his city that he looked for that had foundations whose builder and maker is God. And then tonight, I want to add another C to that list and preach for just a little while on Abraham's companion. Now, I'm glad that the Bible is there that through faith also, Sarah, through faith also, not just Abraham by himself, but Sarah also. I tell you, it is a blessing, a real blessing, when a husband and his wife are both partners of faith. Brother, I'll tell you, it is a sad day in any home when a home is divided by Christ. And by the way, He did come to send a sword and to make division. And not peace on earth, but to bring division at this present time. But it's a wonderful thing when a man and his wife are living together in that life of faith. And they're both in the same yoke and they're both pulling in the same direction. They're not contrary one to the other, but they have a mutual agreement in faith by the Lord Jesus to persevere in this life and to do all that they can do to please the Lord God Almighty. Now, I tell you, I sympathize with anybody that has a wife or a husband that does not want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, buddy, you're in for a difficult life. And I tell you about the only alternative you have is to live in your situation or to determine in your heart by the grace of God that you're going to get a hold of heaven and not turn loose until God saves your spouse by the grace of God, puts your home, your family together, and moves you out to serve the Lord Jesus. May I say to you tonight, church, that is the will of God. I believe that God wants you and I that are married to have a mutual relationship with our wives in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, it's not God's will for a man to be saved and his wife to be lost. Somebody said, how do you know that, preacher? Because in the beginning, He put them together as husband and wife. He put Adam and Eve together. And Brother Peter said in his writing that they are heirs together of the grace of life. And it's a wonderful thing when a man and a woman is in the same yoke, pulling in the same direction. They're not contrary one to the other, but they're both determined by the grace of God that they're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, homes are being devastated all over America by a woman or by a man that will not follow God. I'll tell you, and I'm going to tell you who suffers from it, the children who winds up suffering from a situation like that. But it's a happy day. Buddy, I want to say again, it's a real happy day to look out over a congregation of people and see a daddy and see a mama and see a junior and a sissy all sitting on the pews of the church worshiping God in spirit and in truth, determined in their heart that they'll not let anything come between them and God and the house of God, but by faith they'll follow Him and serve the Lord. And so it was in the life of Sarah and Abraham. The Bible said by faith Abraham, but thank God, it also says that through faith, Sarah also. Sarah also. Now, that's a wonderful thing. And by the way, there is evidence in the Bible that Sarah was subject unto her husband. It says so in the writings of Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, that Sarah was obedient, calling him Lord, that she was subject unto her own husband. And I'm going to tell you why she was. She had a husband that was a man after God's own heart. And she had a husband that wasn't a wimp. He was a man that took the bull by the horns. He did not trample on his wife, but he loved her as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I'll tell you something, men. You'll find your wives will follow you a whole lot better if you learn to love them the way Christ loved the church. Amen. A woman will follow love. That's right. A woman is made to follow that which loves her, and she'll not have any problem following a man that is devoted to her and dedicated to her, and that's right, and loves her. She'll not have any problem following that man in a life of faith. I think that's the way it was in Sarah's life. She had no problem following Abraham. She was subject unto him, and he loved her as Christ loved the church. But I want to say that Sarah's faith was not a perfect faith. No, sir. But there's only been one that ever lived a perfect life of faith. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave Himself for me. When Christ came into the world, He lived a perfect life of faith. He never succumbed to one temptation. That's right, He was never given over to evil. There was no guile found in His mouth. That's right, He was a perfect Lamb of God without spot and without blemish. He did not come to do away with the law, but He lived a life of faith that fulfilled the law to every jot and tittle. And since that day, your faith and my faith and all others' faith have been filled full of flaws and holes. But I'm glad, are you listening? I want you to get this, that where my faith falls short, I'm
glad, thank God, that there's always grace available to cover up the flaws that's in my faith. You need to get a hold of that. There's always grace available, son, to mend the holes, to mend the flaws that's in my faith. That's right. I found that there was flaws in the life of Sarah. There's her faith wasn't perfect. But son, she won the victory. And God kept on allowing her. And in the final analysis, she got victory. And won the victory. I mean, she conceived, bare a child, and carried a child, and delivered a child by faith for the glory of God. Amen. And somebody said, well, can our faith be perfect? Well, it might get that way. But Paul told the believers in Thessalonica, chapter 1, verse number 3, that he was glad to hear that their faith groweth exceedingly in the Lord. Brother, faith is a virtue that must be cultivated and it must grow. And if it's going to grow and bring forth fruit, it must be cultivated. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're going to have to learn to live the faith and cultivate your faith and trust God for the little things. And if you can learn to trust God by faith for the little things, God will entrust you with the bigger things. But until you learn to trust God for little things, forget it. He'll never entrust to you anything. If you've never learned to trust Him with the smallest things, He'll never entrust you with anything any bigger than that. That's right. You know why Daniel was able to face a den of lions? You know why three little Hebrew boys was able to face a furnace of fire? I'm going to tell you why. Because in chapter number 1, by faith they refused to defile themselves with the king's meat. Amen. If you're ever going to live by faith, you're going to have to learn to refuse a defilement from the world. Amen. You can't get out and wallow in sin and live by faith. No, sir. You're going to have to get out of the hog pen and refuse defilement from this world. I was a kid, Brother George, this morning. I said, where are you going on vacation? He said, well, we're going to Florida. I said, I'm checking your legs out, buddy, when you get back. Y'all hearing me? You don't, don't tell me you live in the faith and then sun your buns in the sun. You cannot defile yourself and live a life of faith and ever expect Almighty God to entrust you with the spiritual things and the mightier things and the more glorious things of the Christian life. That's why some preachers, I guess like me, never get off the ground. My faith's so small. Guess that's why I've got such a small church and a small ministry, is my faith must be small and weak. That's right. Maybe I've never learned to trust God with the smaller things. That's why He hadn't entrusted me with the bigger things. I don't know. But I'm telling you, to live a life of faith, you're going to have to resist that defilement and learn to trust God for little things. My goodness. Some of y'all can't trust God. Put food on your table. Amen. We need to learn to trust God for some things. Amen. I'm not so sure. I'm about to get like Brother Roloff. I'm not so sure we ought to learn to trust God for a body, a healing in a body a little bit more. Amen. That's right. I mean that. That's right. That's right. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, diseases and sickness, God doesn't have any control over that. Don't you tell Brother Hall that mess. Said, God created my body and God created your body. That's right. And if God can instill in me the blessed Holy Ghost of God into my bosom supernaturally, surely God can touch the infirmities of my body and heal my sickness if He wants to. Now, Benny Hinn ain't going to do it. Benny Hinn ain't going to get the job done. Neither is the rest of the awful Roberts and the rest of that crowd. Jimmy Swigert and the rest of them. They ain't going to heal nobody. They don't have that kind of power. But I'm telling you, one that does. Amen. We need to learn to trust God a little bit. Simply saying, we need to learn to trust God. Now, don't nobody leave me. Sarah, she exercised her faith, exercised itself in the presence of the most discouraging circumstances. It persevered in the face of difficult obstacles. and it trusted God to do that which under human reasoning seemed to be impossible, but it still had wells in it. Did y'all hear what I said? She trusted God. Her faith was strong enough to trust God to do that which is utterly impossible through human reasoning, but her faith still had wells in her faith. That's right. Amen. Out of her that was as dead sprang a multitude. By faith she conceived. By faith she carried. By faith she delivered a man child. By faith, I'm telling you, but that faith still had wells in it. I think some of y'all got the idea that your faith has just got to be a perfect faith. Well, I think we need to strive to be Christ-like. Be perfect as He is perfect. I think we need to try to apprehend that which we've been, that which has already apprehended us. I think we all need to reach out and grab that zero candy bar every now and then. Amen. Take a big juicy bite out of that zero and apprehend. If it apprehends you, apprehend it. Jesus has apprehended me and I've been trying to apprehend Him. That's right. But I'm telling you, my faith is not. Somebody said, Brother Hall, sure. Hey, anything that's not a faith is sin. She persevered under the most scrutinizing conditions that a woman could. I mean, she had difficult times. There were obstacles in her life that prevented her. And yet she had enough faith to believe that God could do that which was impossible in the human mind. But God did it. Now, don't leave me. I want to look, number one, I want to look at the conflict of her faith. That's right. The Bible says in our text that by faith Sarah received strength to conceive and was delivered of a child when she was past her age. And that because she judged Him faithful who had promised. And there sprang there even of one, out of one, and Him as good as dead. A multitude as the stars in the sky and the sand by the sea. What a glorious, I'm telling you, what a glorious, wonderful life of faith that two old people that was dead and in their reproductive organs and was beyond and past their age and beyond the ability to conceive and give child, and yet it was by faith. Somebody said, well, God worked a miracle. Don't you think He worked one in your life?
Yes.
That's faith, friend.
Amen.
Believing God for the impossible. Oh, what faith. But I said that to say this, that there was a conflict in about her faith. There's always something that is going to oppose your faith. Son, you've got three arch enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and they are totally, diametrically opposed to a life of faith, and they will fight and war against your faith to oppose you from reaching out by faith and obtaining the blessings that God wants you to have in your life. There's a conflict of that faith. I say that, number one, that conflict is found in the deadness of Sarah's womb. Her womb was dead. Dead. Now get a hold of that, church. It doesn't just say that Sarah was a young maiden that just hadn't borne any children like Hannah. Oh no. Her womb was dead. It was not possible for her to conceive, humanly speaking. But that's faith.
Yeah.
No! That's faith! Oh yes. Faith declares, and then faith enables us to grasp hold of God, to overcome the impossibilities of our life.
Yeah.
Notice what Sarah did. That faith, the Bible said that she was past age. Her womb was dead. In fact, if you read Romans chapter number 4, you'll find in Romans chapter number 4 that it says there that Sarah and Abraham both, that her womb was dead and they were past age. They had no ability to produce a child. But Sarah, by faith, you see, that dead womb opposed her. Don't you think when God said, Sarah, you're going to have a little baby, I'm sure that Sarah right away did not say hallelujah to God. Oh, glory to God, I'm going to have a man child. No, I'm going to tell you what Sarah did. She left. But that ain't a perfect faith. And we're always quick to jump on Sarah for laughing. She laughed in chapter number 18, the book of Genesis. But honey, if you read chapter number 17, you'll find out where Abraham laughed. Abraham said, not so, Lord. Let the blessing come upon Ishmael. Let Ishmael be my inheritance. God said, no, sir, Abraham, out of your own loins. Hey, out of your own loins will come, Abraham, the child I promised to you. That's right. I guess now, don't leave me. I'm going to try to get something here in a minute. God will help me. Deadness in that womb when she was past her age. Her impossibilities. Look here. Her impossibilities were overcome. And her dead womb was supernaturally vivified by God. And it was done by the word of faith. It was done by faith. Mark chapter number 9 and verse number 23. Our Lord says, all things, I said, all things are possible to him that believeth. A-double-L, all things. I'm telling you, we live in a generation that does not believe God for the supernatural. We don't believe God for impossibilities anymore. But I'm telling you, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what God done for Sarah by faith, God will do for you and I by the same faith. Let me ask you, what impossibility you got in your family? What impossibilities in your family that you just see no hope for? I mean, it's a dead situation. Maybe you got a lost wife. Well, I tell you, I ain't going to make it, you know. I'm just going to give up. My wife's lost. My whole family's lost. And there's no help for me. That's an impossible situation. Oh, hallelujah to God. I serve a God that delights in impossibilities. Oh, that womb of Sarah's was dead. And by human reasoning, Sarah and Abraham said it can't be done. But out of nowhere stepped God and said, what is impossible with man is always possible with God. Hallelujah to God. Maybe you're facing a situation in your family. All things are possible to him that believeth. I don't know what all some of you's facing. You don't tell me everything. I'm glad you don't. That way when I bust you hide, you can't rail on me for it. Amen. Hallelujah to God. What impossibility are you facing? Well, I want a man. God give you one. If you wait on God, I'm going to tell you, Isaac didn't come around next month, boys. Took a while for old Isaac to come around. In fact, Ishmael was 14 years old when Isaac was born. I don't know how many years before Ishmael was born, God gave Abraham the promise. 14 years at least she waited to see that promise of God, that impossibility, come to pass. Now, there was a conflict. Her faith wasn't perfect. Her womb was dead, and she had to overcome that. She had to overcome that obstacle in her life. She had to overcome it. That's right, brother. My God. Hey, happy anniversary, by the way. Somebody told me right before, that was shaking hands. The 10th, Brother Mike and Miss Bobby's anniversary. They ain't had any children. But I'm telling you, I believe God can. Yes. Can. God can. Hallelujah to God. Then Angie ain't had none yet. I was praying the other day and I went running upstairs. I said, Miss Hall, I said, I was downstairs a praying and I noticed a little twinkle in her eye. I said, I was downstairs a praying and I said, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and told me he's going to give Ben and Angie a baby. I don't know when, but I believe the Holy Ghost, brethren. I just believe God. Amen. I just believe God. Miss Hall said, you ain't going to believe it. While we was at Resaca, the ladies meeting, the Holy Ghost told me the same thing. Hallelujah to God. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that Bible says, if any two on earth will agree as a touching something in heaven, it shall be done unto them. Even the impossibilities of life, it shall be done. I believe somewhere along the line, Abraham and Sarah got together, and Abraham said, now, honey, said, he's done told me he'd give you a baby. And Sarah said, praise God, told me the same thing. And I believe they sat down and said, all right, let's just prove God. Let your faith put God to the test. Prove God. Put Him to the test. See that He won't do those. Oh, He will. He'll deliver every time. He's never fell short, not one time. He will deliver. That's right. I believe why He said, if any two on earth. I'm going to tell you why I believe He said that. Husband and wife. There's the home life, buddy. There's the family. Husband and wife. Any two. Man and his wife. Yeah, look here. Look here. They oughtn't to be a thing. If you're saved, your wife's saved. What a joy. Well, wonder they had that baby. If daddy's saved and mama's saved, you ought to agree on things together with God. They shouldn't be a thing that would hinder you from obtaining the richest blessings of God in your life.
Yeah.
Little obstacles can't hold you back. Hallelujah to God. God delights in working miracles. Amen. Amen. What was the situation when the Lord said, told somebody, said, you just believe, it'll be done unto you. He said, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Do you think his faith was perfect? No, sir. No, sir. Everybody look right up here at me. I think we've got the idea that faith has got to be something just stupendous. I mean something just out of this world. I mean we got the idea that some men live by faith and some they've just got so much faith that they can do this and do that. And God gives them big ministries. But I'm going to tell you what, our faith never touched a hem of His garment. Buddy, my Bible tells me if you've got the faith of a grain of mustard seed, go back there and get me that bottle. Faith of one grain of mustard seed. Some of these super duper boys, and I'm not criticizing Brother Sammy. I'm using this as an example. Brother Sammy Allen's got a big church, pastors a big church, got running probably 250, 300 people in church, got a tabernacle down there in a camp meeting that would seat, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 maybe. Big dining hall seat, 4,000 or 5,000 people. And buddy, we say, well, old Brother Sammy's got a whole lot of faith. And I guess he has got more than I have. Say, old Sammy's got a whole lot of faith. Buddy, he can do all that. But I'm telling you, hey, I've known Brother Sammy Allen for a number of years now. I've never seen Sammy! I've never seen him call a sycamore tree to get up out of its place and go to another. I've never seen him move a mountain from one place to another. God said, if you've got that much faith, you can do it.
Amen.
Some of y'all can't even see that faith. You can't even see that faith. Hey, boy, what a thought God just gave me. Hallelujah to God. That faith is so small, some of y'all can't even see it. I got news for you. I get over here, and I can't see it. But I don't give a flip whether you see my faith or not, as long as God sees my faith. Hallelujah to God. Amen. God can see it. That's right. I want Him to see my faith. If God sees my faith, He's the one that'll move the mountains and the sycamore tree. He's the one that'll open your womb and vivify the womb of the dead. That's right. He's the one that will save your loved ones and family. God will. That's right. I'm interested in Him seeing my faith. Not you seeing it. Not me seeing it. But God seeing it. Amen. Somebody said, what if He overlooks it? Come on now. You know better now. He ain't going to overlook it. Oh. But her, one of the conflict. She had to overcome the deadness of her womb. Then I want to say that Sarah doubted His word. What I say? Now I know there's men that will tell you if you've ever doubted this and doubted that, you're not even saved. But I'm telling you they've never read their Bible. Here is a woman that is preceded in this hero of faith chapter by her husband. A man and his wife both in the hero hall of fame. The faith hall of fame of the Word of God. And when God gave them a promise to them that seemed impossible in their human reasoning, they both laughed. You know, Lord, you. They doubted the Word of God. That's right. They doubted the Word of God. Somebody said, Brother Hall, can a man doubt the Word of God? That man can doubt the promises of the Word of God. Sarah did. Abraham did. Abraham lacked. God told Abraham, chapter number 17, said, your wife's going to conceive and you're going to bear a son. Abraham said, said, oh, that Ishmael would find favor before God. God said, no, it's not going to be Ishmael. It's going to be one come right out of your own loin. Abraham said, I'm dead, and Sarah's dead. God said, you forget who I am, that out of death always springs life. Always, out of death, always springs life. And not just a life here and there, but like the stars in the sky, like the sand by the seashore, innumerable. Oh, what a fruitful reward and blessing from the promise of God. Sarah and Abraham put their faith to the test and proved God, and God delivered for them. God will deliver for you too. Now they doubted His word. She laughed. Now I want you to get what I'm getting ready to read to you. Get a hold of this now. Many times the Word of God does not take effect immediately. It must be pondered and meditated upon. At first Sarah laughed and did not believe God. But somewhere down the line, she had to believe. That word doesn't always provide immediate faith, friend. It's got to be pondered over. Can I let you know a little secret? I'm still pondering Psalm 43:3. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Surely it didn't mean at the time what myself and some other men might have thought it meant, because that's collapsed. God's blessings don't collapse. What does God mean by Psalm 43:3? Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. What about Psalm 84:11? For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. God gave me that sitting in a classroom in Greenville, South Carolina in 1982. I'm still pondering that promise from God. I could go on and on. How about, you want to try this and on for size? Ye shall yet increase more and more, you and your children. Put that on you. Put that on the right shoe and on your right foot and wear it. That's right. Word of God doesn't always produce. Hey, it's got to be fertilized, cultivated, meditated upon, prayed about. It's got to be chewed like the cud of a cow. Amen. Swallowed a few times. Rolled around in a pit of your gut. Bounced up and thaw all again. And people read a verse of Scripture in the Bible and just read it and pass on. Well, hallelujah, that's good. You'd be surprised what it'd do for your Christian life. You'd turn back to that Scripture and just think on it a little while. How long have you been meditating on Ishi and Bali? Huh? Still good, ain't it? So we got the idea that we got to try to digest a whole Bible overnight. Friend, if you get something rich from God, chew on it a while. There's more than one meal in it. Chew on it. Swallow it and say, now, Lord, that's good, but I'm going to try it one more time. What about them streams in that desert? You have any promises from God? Ponder them. She doubted His word. She doubted His word. And she became discouraged while she waited. We find that later in her life, she got so discouraged, she said, after 14 years, she said, surely to God, or after a number of years, she said, surely to God, that God's lied to me, God's not true, God didn't do what He said He's going to do. She said, take Hagar and go on in and bring a child out of Hagar, my handmaid. Buddy, she just got impatient before God. And she got discouraged waiting on God. Hey, look here. I'm telling you, one of the greatest tools of the devil today is discouragement. And he's discouraging the people of God. They're not seeing things come to pass as quickly as they think they ought to. And they're becoming discouraged and falling out on God. They're either falling out on God or they're taking a substitute. I want you to hear me well. We live off substitutes, buddy. Just like Rehoboam, when he lost the shields of gold that Solomon had built, he said, I know what we'll do. We'll replace them with shields of brass. The brass will polish up real pretty. From a distance, it looks like gold. And we'll just polish up these shields of brass and substitute them for the gold. That's exactly what we're doing today. That's right. We've substituted prayer for just fiddling around. We've substituted worship for concerts and sing-alongs and hymn sings and all that stinking mess. Turn the pit of my stomach raw, make me puke a gallon of puke. Bless God. I'm telling you, God still wants His people to come to the house of God and worship God and live a life of faith, have a prayer life that'll pull down the blessings of God on their families. So many folks, they don't see God doing anything right now. Let me ask something. Brother Robert, where would you and Sue have been? Where would you and Ann be? If y'all would have kicked, now I'm just saying this in love. Where would y'all be right now if you'd have kicked out when the rest of your family did? Where would Ricky and Kelly be? Steve and Angie. If y'all would have kicked out. If you'd have got impatient. Waiting on God. Son, you better learn to buckle her in and wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's right. They'll run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Son, you better learn to wait on God. I don't know how many years of waiting. I know it was at least 14 plus years that she waited. She got discouraged. She got discouraged and tried to substitute, but again the grace of God mended the flaw in the imperfect faith and brought to pass the richest blessings of God upon Hagar's life. And so there was her conflict of faith. Then, now get this now. I want you to listen very carefully. She judged him faithful. Though she was discouraged, she had enough confidence. Not only the conflict of her faith, but the confidence of her faith. She judged him faithful that had promised. What confidence that she had in God. Now get a hold of this. I want to read this to you. It is only as the heart believingly ponders the divine attributes that we shall judge him faithful. He who joyfully contemplates who and what God is will be preserved from doubting and wavering while waiting for the promise of God. Look here. I said this morning. Let me run it by you. Y'all ain't quit on me now, have you? Let me run this by you one more time. Why some of you waver all the time and why some of you is weak and waver in your faith is this right here. You're looking at the circumstances rather than setting your affection on the divine attributes of God Himself. Hey, look here. Here's what God's taught. Can I give you what God's taught me out of this? I've been praying for revival, Brother Ray, since 1980. This is 1997. I've been praying for revival for 17 years. And here's what God's taught me out of this. I've been looking at the promise of revival and praying for it to come. God told me, said, I've given you the promise. Why don't you get your mind off of the revival and put it on the revivalist? Do you get hold of that? That's why our faith, hey, that's why, because if I get to looking at revival and 17 years may come, I get discouraged. I say, well, God, you know, I must have misunderstood God. God didn't tell me right. I must not have followed God right. But I'm telling you, if you follow the promise, you'll stumble and fall if you ain't careful. But if you follow Him that gave you the promise. You give the promiser. And if you give the hold of the promiser, you've got the promise. Woo! He'll bring it to pass. What confidence to judge them faithful that had promised. Amen. Do you have that kind of confidence in God tonight? To judge God faithful? Amen. When she judged him faithful, she sat down and reasoned with him. She just reasoned. She said, hey, I may have flaws in my faith, but the faith of God and His faithfulness to me is flawless. Not one loophole in the faithfulness of God. You ever find any mistakes in God's faithfulness to you? Has He ever let you down? I still ain't got over what Brother Rain said. God loves me too much to do me wrong, and He's too wise to make a mistake. That's right. Folks, hey, we need to learn to lean on His faithfulness. Oh, yeah, she counted Him faithful. Look here, it doesn't say anything about Sarah looked back and said, well, I've got such great faith. I know God's going, because my faith is exceedingly strong. No! She said, God said it, that's enough. I believe God for it. God's faithful. I've got news for you. For 4,000 years, the people of God and the prophets of God awaited the coming of the Lord Jesus. From Genesis 3:15, the first time, the first promise in the Bible of the coming of the Lord Jesus is Genesis 3:15. And for 4,000 years, the people of God waited. One prophet to another prophet, one man of God to another man of God, continue to prophesy concerning the coming of the Lord. And there were some that said, hey, it's all a hoax, but I'm telling you, after 4,000 years, just like He said, He that was faithful brought it to pass. That's right. Some of these jokers, I know Jesus says that, the Bible said Jesus is coming back again, but I'm going to have a good time. I believe I've got plenty of time to get ready. I'm going to tell you something, friend. He said He's coming back. That's good enough for me. I believe that He's coming back. I'm not going to get impatient. I don't care. There's lessons in the Bible on that. Those servants in the Bible, they begin to be drunken and to beat one and this and that. They become impatient, lost their confidence in God, but He's faithful. She judged Him faithful. Amen. She judged Him faithful. She just sat down and reasoned. She said, now God said it, and He's God that cannot lie, and surely to goodness God will bring it to pass. And then not only did she judge. Hey, by the way, 1 Thessalonians 5:24 said, faithful is He that calleth you who also will do it.
Amen.
That's right. And then she rested in the promise. Notice what it said in the Word of God. It said, through faith also Sarah herself conceived strength to receive strength to conceive. The seed was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged Him faithful who had promised. She just rested in the promise of God. And she rejoiced. She just rejoiced when God brought it to pass. Hey, every woman rejoices over a man child. Amen. She just rejoiced when God brought it to pass. That's what we need to learn to do, is commit ourselves to Him and just rest in what God said. Boy, that gives me a verse. That gives me some scripture in Psalm. I want to read this for you, and I don't know how much of it I'll read, but I want to give you these points in Psalm. God just laid it on my heart. There's some things in the book of Psalm about trusting God and depending in God. In Psalm 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Fret not thyself. Verse number 4, delight thyself. Verse number 5, commit thy way. Verse number 7, rest in the Lord. Wait. Have you all ever read that? Just delight yourself. Rest in the Lord. Wait on God. Hallelujah. He'll bring her to pass. And then not only her conflict of her faith, the confidence of her faith, but the constancy of her faith. I'm talking about the continuation. But even with all the flaws. Somebody said, Brother Hall, where do you see that? Look in verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive. Her faith started at conception. And it did not end until she delivered the child. That means she had a constant faith from conception to deliverance. She was steadfast unto God. So many folks today like a roller coaster. Up, down, in, out, hot, cold, popcorn. Had a fellow out in Arizona one time, preached on popcorn and hot dog Christians. Said a lot of them just like popcorn. Just pop in, they pop out. They pop up, and they pop out. Amen. I forget what he said about the hot dogs. But I'm telling you, we need some folks that are steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your faith, work in the Lord, is not in vain. Sarah was just steadfast. That is, she believed God from the time she to conceive until she carried the child and brought it all the way through.
Amen.
You ladies in here that are pregnant, sure to God, you're praying for that baby. If you ain't, shame on you.
Amen.
If you pray to God to give you a child, sure to God, when it's conceived, you don't stop. That just, see, what kind of faith have you got? If you pray for God to give you a child, if you pray for God to give you a child, you better be prepared to pray for it until you or it one goes to the grave.
Amen.
If you don't, you'll renege on God. Fans and men's praying for a child. God may be teaching them. God may be trying to teach them a little bit about faith.
Amen.
Brother Mike, you and Bobby too, pray for that child. Pray for a baby. But then when that, hey, but you'll be compelled by faith to persevere in that faith, to pray for that baby to be conceived. And sure to God, once that baby's conceived, you're just not going to quit praying for it. It may be born. It may be stillborn and miscarried. She could have lost eyes. Surely to God, she didn't stop praying. She could have lost Isaac at birth. Women do go into the jaws of death to bring a baby into the world. That baby, Isaac, could have died at birth. That's right. I believe when she went in the tent with the midwife to bring that baby out, I believe Sarah was a praying. Abraham was a praying for that baby. Still believing God to give him a son, to be heir. Not Eliezer of Damascus, but out of his own loins. That's right. She's constant. She is steadfast in her faith. And then notice, and it says, therefore sprang even, well, I'm looking for the child. Though through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child. Not only the conflict of her faith and the confidence of her faith and the constancy of her faith, but the child of her faith. She said she delivered a child. And what a child it was. That's right. Amen. Look at the faith. It was Isaac, and through the lineage of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob came the 12 patriarchs, and through them came the Lord Jesus. Oh, what faith! Now, I want you to get a hold of this. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as a dead, in verse 12, as many as the stars of the sky, multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Here's a real important lesson to learn about that out of very small things, just a little faith thing, proceeded. And look, somebody said, what does it mean? Everybody look up here at me now. I want you to get something halfway spiritual. The sand represents the natural posterity of Abraham through the life of Ishmael, which is the nation of Israel today. But the stars of the sky is that spiritual seed that come through Isaac. That's the saved people of God today. God gave him a physical, natural posterity and a spiritual posterity. What fruit out of such a small, just out of small beginnings by faith can have great endings for the glory of God. That's right. I don't want Steve over there to give up faith on God giving him a ministry. No. He may take a church of 10. See, some fellas won't take a church of 10. He may take a church of 10 and God may give him 10,000. That's right. But the fruit was sand and stars, natural and spiritual seed. And then there was followers that followed. They all come down through the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because one woman had faith. What faith she had.
Amen.
What kind of faith do you have tonight? Huh? What kind of faith do you have? It's going to be a conflict.
Amen.
But if you'll keep your confidence and stay steadfast in God. Yeah. And what the problem is with most people, and I've said this so many times, I'm about ashamed to say it, most folks have absolutely no promise from God in their life at all. They try to take the Bible. Oh, I've got a book of promises. Well, that's good. But has God ever taken one of them and spoken to your heart through it?
All right.
If He ever has, He'll give you something you can cling to and pray through and see the power and the blessings of God on you and your family. Let's stand together.